Every fisherman knows that a fish can't resist a worm on a hook. That tempting morsel brings the fish to his own doom. Just so, all of us have worms on hooks we find hard to resist. Desire, especially sexual desire, can lure us to do things we know are wrong. Our hearts can be swayed away from God unless we take steps to prevent it. Today, more lessons from James on the nature of temptation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Turn to James chapter 1 as Erwin Lutzer brings more of his second message, this one on the seductive power of desire.
James is saying, you can't say, well, God, you're the one who got me into this. You're the one who lured me into sin. James says, you can't do that. But then he goes on to say, each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, verse 14. Lured and tempted. I love the translation which says, and he is carried away by his own desires. And James here is using the word desire in the sense of lust. Now, there are many righteous desires, the desire for companionship, the desire, of course, to eat, the desire for intimacy, all of those things. But what happens is Satan and, of course, our very own flesh, as James points out here, lures us away. Now, the imagery that is used here is that of a bait. When you're catching fish, you use a certain kind of bait. When you're catching animals, you may use a snare. What he's saying is our desires, unchecked by God, and if not restrained by God, lure us away. They carry us to a different place, James is saying. And they do, don't they? And when you are being carried away by your desire, you're not being carried away to a place where you don't want to go. You are being carried exactly to the place where you want to go. That's why you put yourself in the place of temptation, is because you want to go in this direction, James would say. And then, of course, once you drift off, you can't understand this very well unless you understand the meaning of the word trance, where you are in such a state where you want what you want, to quote the words of Woody Allen, the heart wants what it wants, and you are in such a state that you will pursue that with all that you are, and you'll be totally oblivious to God. It's not that you'll hate God, as Bonhoeffer pointed out. A person in the midst of such a situation doesn't hate God. He just forgets about God. God is blocked out. The consequences of your sin are blocked out. That is taken out of the mind, and there you are, and only one thing matters, and that is the desire, which is now turned into an obsession. So James says that the first step is we have our desires that deceive us. And then he goes on to a second step, and he says, secondly, we act. You'll notice it says, verse 15, then desire when it is conceived. You see, desire and temptation, they are the ones that conspire together, and there's a live birth. And the live birth is sin. And so sin develops, and the act is committed. And of course, that act now leads the person to continue to watch what he's watching. It leads his eyes, it leads his hands as to what he does, his feet as to where he goes. And all of that now is being governed as he seems to be helpless in the face of this tremendous temptation that has literally carried him away. And the next time he commits the very same sin, he's going to have to go into it deeper. There's more that is going to be needed to get the buzz that he got last time. And so the cycle will be repeated with ever-increasing consequences and great need, says James. And as it says in the book of Proverbs so accurately, the man who does not have self-control is like a city that has been barraged and it has no walls. The city has been destroyed and there are no walls. The wall, the castle of his mind now, all of the doors have been opened. They've been ripped off. The doors, the hinges are even taken off, and anything at any time comes in. So James says the first step is we are lured away by our desires. He says the second step is that we then sin. There's a third step that James gives, and it says it leads to death. You'll notice verse 15, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Now, the word death is used in the Bible in many different ways, sometimes physical death, the separation of the soul and body, spiritual death, which is the separation of the soul from God. It's used in that way. And so, and then there's also a deadness. Sometimes it is used in that way as well. The person becomes dead. There's that verse that the Apostle Paul has in Timothy, which says, she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. There's a certain numbness, there's a certain deadness that comes now as the result of sin. And how tragic that is. And what does the person do in the midst of that? He now begins to see his sin a little bit more clearly, and all the condemnation that he has ever thought of is heaped upon him. And the devil who inspired him and cooperated with him in doing the deed, the devil now returns in an entirely different role as an accuser. What kind of a Christian are you? You call yourself a Christian, and look at what you just did. You are scum. If you think that God still loves you, you're totally wrong. You might as well continue down this path. And who are you that you should say that you love God? And on and on and on. So all of this condemnation brings death. And what does the person do? I'll tell you what he does. He begins to make promises. He promises God, oh God, I promise you that I'll never do this again. If there's anyone else who finds out about it, he promises that this will be the last time, that he will indeed not do this again. He is so overwhelmed by his guilt in his deadness. But he will do it again, and he'll do it again and again. Because he does not understand the depth of his need, he is thinking that by making a promise, he's going to be delivered. But you need something more than your own vow and your own promise when you are in that pit. And so the promise is made, but the problem is it will be repeated. Maybe more secretly, but you can't get out of that pit just by saying, I'm going to promise it's going to be different from now on. And so that is the analysis as to what happens, especially when we struggle with that which is closest to us, namely our sexuality. Maybe I can put it this way. When I was out in the farm and we had a gas can, it was always said, don't ever light a match near a gas can because, you know, the fumes might actually light up and the gas can might explode. You and I have within us flammable material. And all that you really need is that match to go off. All that you need is that outer stimuli. And the traitor within is willing to open the gates to the enemy without. And pretty soon you're carried away almost into another world, all fully justified until you see sin as it is. And then you wonder what to do. Well, where do we go from here? What is the answer? You know that in every one of these series of messages, or I should say, in every message, I give you an assignment. Last time, the assignment was to detox from the media for 3 consecutive days. Could I ask a question? How many of you did that? How many of you detoxed? You know, quite a few. I've gotten some very good testimonies about people who say how freeing it is to detox from the media. Let me ask you another question. Did the world go on okay without you knowing about what was happening? Was there any problem with you detoxing from television, from movies? I think that everything carried on. I detoxed this week. I detoxed the previous week. And you know, I'm beginning to like this detox idea to separate us from the media. That was last time. What is the assignment this time? I'm going to give it to you in a moment, but your Bibles are open to the book of James. Would you now turn to James chapter 4? James chapter 4, where I believe that James now gives us an answer to what we have talked about. In James chapter 4, and I wish we had time to read the beginning of the chapter, but we're going to jump in after a couple of verses. I'm in verse 6, actually. Therefore it says, I should begin by saying, he gives more grace. To you today who are struggling with sin and you have repeatedly made promises that you have broken and you think there is no help, please notice this. He gives more grace. There's more grace in God's heart than sin in your past. My friend, I'm so glad that you joined us today for this message. It's part of a larger series entitled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. I'm sure you realize how desperately we all need these messages. You know, you go to the computer today, and even if you want to simply see the news, you find that there's temptation all along the way. And it's not just young people that are being seduced by the images of our culture. You may be living in a home where there is a sexual addiction, someone addicted to some form of sexuality, perhaps pornography. Just know that in this series of messages, I speak to these issues, and in the last message, as a matter of fact, deal with these kinds of things rather directly. In a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. And by the way, each of the messages contains an assignment that I've asked the congregation here at the Moody Church to do. And we've received many testimonies of people really seriously helped by detoxing from the media, for example, and then other assignments follow. If you want to know more about this, go to our website, moodymedia.org, moodymedia.org, and you'll find there a list of the assignments. But also, if you want to connect with us, if we've been a blessing to you, or you have a testimony that you want to give, perhaps as a result of running to win, you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear about that. And thank you so much to the many of you who support us financially, those who pray for us. We're deeply appreciative. And I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win as we continue this very important series of messages.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Seductive Power of Desire, the second of six messages in his series, Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Monday, more proactive steps we can take to break the stranglehold of the media. The need for us to guard our hearts has never been greater. All six messages in this critical series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.